Exodus 28 through 11. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That's Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Chris?
Have you ever tried to put a toddler down for a nap? If you've ever had that experience, you know how utterly exhausting and frustrating it can be. In fact, most of them will resist you until they have used the very last ounce of their energy. You know what I mean. Their little heads will be bobbing up and down, and their eyes will be rolling in the back of their heads, and all the while, they are declaring that they're not tired, that they don't need to rest. Now, of course, you know better than that. You know that they are tired and that they need their rest. In fact, you know that if they would just rest for a short period of time, that they would have more energy and that they would feel better physically and emotionally, and that their relationships with their playmates and their siblings and you would be much, much better. So what do you think it is that this same scenario takes place day after day, over and over again? Why won't they just listen to your words of loving wisdom and obey them? I can tell you why. It's called FOMO. For those of you who don't know what FOMO is, it's fear of missing out. They're afraid that somehow or another, if they take that nap, they're going to miss out on something really good. And actually, a little bit of it is just sin nature, too, because deep down inside, all of us are a little bit rebellious. And so they resist doing what is best for them. Now, it's easy to laugh at children's behavior and see it as silly. But if the truth be told, we adults are not that much different than our children, especially when it comes to this subject of getting rest, which explains why so many of us are tired all the time, and why so many of us will probably burn out long before we finish the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. He has prepared us in Christ for good works. And unfortunately, we will go and go and go and go with so many different things in our lives that we probably just get burned out on that. And so today, what I wanted to talk about, we're going to explore what God has to say about why we must remember the Sabbath. So again, if you haven't, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. And I'll read again verses 8 through 11. If you're using one of the Bibles that's in the seat back in front of you, that's on page 61. Now, as I read this passage of Scripture, I want you to keep two things in mind. First of all, that this is a commandment from God for His glory and our good. It's not just a helpful suggestion for us. It's a commandment. God said we should be doing this. We need to do this. And this is also what I would like to call a transitional commandment. It's the fourth commandment, and it's transitional because not only does it link our relationship to God, but it links our relationship with each other. This commandment merges those two. If you look 1 through 3 and into 4, it's really about our relationship with God. And then from the fifth commandment down, it's really about our relationship with others. This is that transitional commandment that links those two together. And so the first thing I want you to know is that I'm not going to preach a sermon this morning setting forth a bunch of dogmatic rules of how you should or shouldn't practice or observe the Sabbath. What we're going to do is take a look at the scriptures, look at these scriptures that we have here, and I'm going to want us to consider a few principles that hopefully will empower us to work out the details of how we as individuals and as a church should and can remember the Sabbath. And when I say hopefully because I have to confess that I haven't worked out all the details myself of how to have a Sabbath on a regular basis, how to really set aside a day of time for rest and devotion to the Lord. And so I need this message. It's really, I need it as much or more than anyone here this morning. And I believe that God, being as good and as kind and as gracious as he is to us, wants to speak to our hearts from this message this morning and lead us into what he has best for us in our lives, which ultimately brings him honor and glory. Someone, and I can't remember who, I read it somewhere or heard it somewhere, said this. They said, remembering the Sabbath keeps us in step with the rhythm of God, which brings us to our first principle. To remember the Sabbath is to keep in step with the rhythm of God's original plan and pattern for our lives. So let's look, starting first with that passage from Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Again, to remember the Sabbath is to keep in step with the rhythm of God's original plan. Now, if you want to teach somebody an important life lesson, what's the best way to do that? Probably the best way to do that is to model it. And so again, going back to God's word, keep a mark here in Exodus and turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 2. It says, starting at verse 1, says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the Sabbath day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, do you think that God rested on the seventh day because creating the heavens and the earth had tired him out, had made him tired? No, I don't think so. I don't believe that that's true. In fact, what it was God was modeling for us a pattern that he intended mankind to follow. Just as there is a God-ordained orbit of the earth and the other planets around the sun, just as there is high tide and low tide, and there are the change of seasons, God has also created a pattern. He's ordained a pattern of work and rest in our lives. We weren't created from the very beginning to run at full speed 24/7, which is what we have a tendency to do. This is just not God's perfect plan for our lives. And so he personally modeled a pattern in which we're to cease from all work 1 day out of seven. Okay, and we do that in order first to reverence him, reflect on who he is and all that he's done for us, to refresh our relationship with him, and also to rest our weary minds and bodies, to give ourselves a physical rest, which really brings us to the next principle. To remember the Sabbath is to make it a day of physical rest. So again, back to Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 and 10 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. Part of God's original intent for the Sabbath was that it would be a day of physical rest, a day of rest for everyone. That includes ourselves, along with all of our fellow man in the various different forms of their relationships with us, whether it's our children or since most of us don't have servants, it would be the folks that work in the public sector. It would also be our animals. If you were a farmer back then, you would have had animals that worked. And so God's concerned about his creation and this rhythm of rest that there is. And what it does is this includes all of us, and what it does is it changes our relationship, not only with ourselves, but also in our relationship with God, but our relationship with other people. That's what I meant when I said that Exodus 20, 8 through 11 was a transitional commandment, linking our relationship to God with our relationship with our fellow man. When we remember the Sabbath, it strengthens our relationship with our God, and it strengthens our relationship with each other. There's something that happens that as we join together and we take this time to physically rest and to join in worship of the Lord, that it strengthens our relationship with God and with each other. But the trouble is that in our fast-paced society, we find it almost impossible to set aside time for physical rest. And that's the rest that we desperately need. All of us does. Our culture of productivity demands that we not be idle, that our calendars and schedules be constantly filled with activities. And unfortunately, the church has also become prey to this paradigm as well. And it's wreaking havoc, really, within the church itself. It's affecting our ability to be healthy and balanced witnesses for Christ. In his book, Ordering Your Private World, pastor and author Gordon MacDonald wrote this. He said, "The world and the church need genuinely rested Christians. Christians who are regularly refreshed by true Sabbath rest." Now I want you to ponder, think about a few questions I have to ask you. So think about these as I ask them. What would it be like if we were to truly rest one day a week? Can you imagine what it would be like if we truly rested one day a week? Do you think that we would have more energy for the next 6 days? Do you think that we would have a better attitude at work, at school, in our neighborhoods, in traffic, in line at our local Walmart? Do you think that our relationships with our families and with each other would improve? Do you think that we would smile more? You know, do you think that with more energy, a better attitude, and improved relationships with each other, and a big old smile on our faces, that we would be better witnesses for Jesus? Yeah, I think that we would. I think that it would have a dramatic impact on our witness for the Lord if we were better rested. As I said before, God didn't rest on the seventh day and establish it as a Sabbath for us because he was tired. He did it as an example for us to follow because he knew that if it were left up to us, that we of our own volition wouldn't take that day of rest. We would continue because we're driven people and we would continue to work and work and work and work and go and do 7 days a week. And so God, for our own good and for his glory, set aside a day, the Sabbath. So the question is, why don't we listen to the loving words of wisdom from our Heavenly Father and remember the Sabbath? We aren't really going to miss out on anything all that important in doing so. In fact, it's when we don't remember the Sabbath, when we don't take time for that rest, that we really do miss out on what's important. And that's a day of physical rest, and even more importantly, a day intently and intimately focused on our Heavenly Father. So our third principle is this: to remember the Sabbath day is to keep it holy. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3a says, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." And then again back in Exodus 20, verse 8, he says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." One, if not the most important aspect of the Sabbath, is that it is meant to be a time of reflection and reverence, an unhindered, unhurried, joyfully anticipated and planned time to worship our God. And we have to set aside time. We talked about this. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about having New Year's resolution. If you don't plan and set time aside, it just will not happen. Now, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy doesn't mean to wake up on Sunday morning, jump out of bed and think, it's a Sabbath. I got to get ready, go to church and get in that hurry pace that a lot of times we do. That's not what remembering the Sabbath is. Under the old covenant, God gave his people, the Israelites, specific instructions and procedures to follow leading up to and on the day of their worship and how to worship him. He was very thorough and clear of giving them directions and how to do that. And he did that not just to make them jump through some religious hoops, but he did that so that they would slow down and consider and really think about what they were doing. They would really have a mindset that wasn't still caught up in all the busy day-to-day things, where they were really focused in on him. So remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy means that we need to slow down and take the time to think about and prepare for this special time with God. It's meant to be a time to reflect upon who God is and what he's done for us and to show him reverence by intentionally setting aside the time to worship him. And you're all here this morning. You've set aside time to come and to join together and to worship our God. And this is one step in that. But some of us, you know, some of us can't, for pastors and a lot of people, Sunday morning is a day of work. And so there are other times that we need to set aside time of physical rest as well as just time alone worshiping the Lord. We need this special time with God in order to be spiritually recharged after the drain of the past week and in preparation for the week that's ahead of us. If all of our days are to be holy, then we must keep the Sabbath day holy. How can we expect to be set apart by God to live holy lives every day if we won't even set ourselves apart to God honor him on a Sabbath and have a day where we focus on him and keep that day holy? There's a story I read about how back in the old days, ponies and mules used to be used to haul the coal out of the coal mine. This was long before steam engines and that sort of thing. And they would use ponies, these small ponies and mules to haul the coal out of the coal mines. Well, there was this guy and he was coming through this mining town. He was a stranger to the whole mining concept. And as he's coming through the town, he noticed this little boy, and this little boy is standing out in a field, and the field is full of ponies and mules. And he stops and asks the little boy, it happens to be a Sunday, and he says, well, why are all the mules and the ponies out here in this field on Sunday? And the little boy answered him and said, well, they work all week in the darkness of the mines. We bring them up into the sunlight on Sunday so they won't go blind. We too desperately need to come out of the dark mines of our work, our schools, our everyday life, and get into the sunshine of God's love and acceptance. We need to get out of our regular routine, or else we'll go spiritually blind. That's what Romans 12:2 is speaking about when it says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to have a different change. We have to change our paces so that we have time to be spiritually refreshed and renewed. And that's why we need to keep the Sabbath holy. It's to be a day of physical rest, but it's also to be a day of refreshment and just renewal spiritually for us. Now, the fourth principle I've listed is to remember the Sabbath is a matter of faith. You know, if you were to ask the average Christian if they practiced a regular Sabbath day of rest and reverence to God, most people would respond that they're not under the old covenant any longer, that they're not required to follow the law and the law of the Sabbath. And if you were to press them further emphasizing their need for physical rest and spiritual renewal, they would agree that even though they're not under the covenant, the old covenant law, observance of a Sabbath makes practical sense, and it would be beneficial for them to put that into practice in their lives. If you continued to question them about why, even though they agree that it's a good idea and that they're in need of the benefits of a Sabbath day of rest, ask them, well, why don't you practice that, put that into practice? A lot of people would tell you that they simply cannot afford a day off. Many would say that financially they can't afford it, that the economy is a mess and the price of everything is on the rise, which it is. They need to work those extra hours to make ends meet. And if not that, then they're required by their employer to work long hours just to maintain and keep up with their jobs, the demands of their jobs. You would hear some of them say that they practically, in practical sense, can't afford to take a day off. Their lives are just too busy to get everything done that needs to be done in 6 days. Their jobs, their grocery shopping, yard work, housework, children's activities, the ministries that they're involved in, all of these require more than 6 days to get finished, to complete those tasks. And I have to admit that these things are all realities and they're true. But without any intent of being unsympathetic or legalistic, I have to ask the question, could these possibly be realities that are also mixed with a lack of faith? In the book of Exodus, chapter 16, which you can read some other time, we don't have really time to read that whole chapter this morning, it tells the story of how very shortly, just 2 months after God had rescued, miraculously rescued the Israelites from slavery in the land of Egypt, they're out and they're wandering through the Sinai wilderness, the people begin to grumble about food, about how their needs were going to be met. Here we are out in this desert, and how are our needs going to be met? They had just seen God do these miraculous things to bring them out of Egypt, and very short period of time, they're grumbling and they're doubting, how are you going to take care of us? In fact, they're like, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt where we had food to eat, right? They've already forgotten all that God has done for them. And so what did God do? He provided manna and he provided quail for them to eat, right? And so God gave them specific instructions on how much to gather each day for each person and how to prepare it so that he would provide for them, right? And so when the folks obeyed, those who obeyed God in faith, obeyed him, their needs were met. And when they didn't, it didn't turn out so well. The manna rotted and had maggots in it, and it was just a bad deal. And so those folks who had faith in God and trusted in him, their needs were met. Then on the sixth day, he also gave them some specific instructions on how much to gather and how to prepare it to meet their needs for the next 2 days, because the seventh day was to be a Sabbath, a solemn day of rest, and no one was to attempt to go out and gather any of the manna or the quail, because there would be none available for them. Well, again, the Israelites who in faith obeyed the Lord's instructions enjoyed a Sabbath day of rest. Their needs were met, while those who disobeyed God, who because of whatever, a lack of faith in God, went out and searched and worked to find it, they didn't find any manna. And not only did they not get a day of rest, but their needs were not met. God's provision for them had been made. And so my challenge for us today is that just as the Israelites had to have faith in God to provide for their daily needs in the wilderness of Sinai, so we too have to have faith in God to provide for us our daily needs as well. So my encouragement is, let us have faith to live on what God provides for our daily needs in the 6 days of work, and not miss the blessing of the Sabbath day of rest that he's graciously ordained for us, for our good, for his glory. He has prepared. And so I think that sometimes, I know that's a challenge for me, I've got to get certain things done, and I'm willing. This week was an example of that. I had intended to set Friday aside as a Sabbath. And my wife Bonnie has been trying to help me with that for quite a while now, to set, not to schedule things on Friday if possible. And I found myself this Friday waking up thinking, man, I've still got work to do on my sermon, and I've got this to do. And so I thought, well, I'll do it on Saturday. But before the day was over, what did I end up doing? I ended up going right back to it Friday afternoon and getting back into it. I didn't take that time. So it's very difficult to do. Just having faith that God would have enabled me to finish what I needed to get done if I would have done it the next day and taken Friday as a Sabbath, I failed in that. So you see, it's very hard to do because we have so many things pressing in on us to do. So that leads us to our fifth and final principle, is to remember the Sabbath is to receive it as the blessing it was intended to be. So I don't know if you know or not, but in Orthodox Jewish tradition, there are 39 categories of work which are not allowed to be done on the Sabbath in order to adhere to it, okay? In fact, when you think about that, on the Sabbath, it would be work just trying to remember all of the things that you are and are not supposed to do. And so under these categories, I thought I would bring out a couple of them because I just found them interesting to me. There's a ton of them. In fact, there's so many that it's confusing. But here's just a couple that piqued my interest. Under the category of burning, it forbids the kindling of a fire. So therefore, you cannot cook on the Sabbath, even if you have an electric stove, okay, or electric oven. But what you can do is you can turn your oven on before the Sabbath begins, and you can warm up pre-cooked food so long as when you open your oven door, the light doesn't come on. Right? Okay. So I just happened, I was looking at one of our manuals for the ovens that we have here in the church, and they have a Sabbath setting. I'm serious. And what that does is that allows you to, because they have an automatic cutoff that after a period of time, the stove will automatically, the oven will cut off. Well, they have a Sabbath setting that you can select, which will let your oven continue to run until you turn it off manually yourself. And it encourages you to make sure that you take the light bulb loose so that the light doesn't come on in the oven when you open it. I thought that was pretty interesting. Well, this category of burning also means that you can't drive a car on the Sabbath because cars have internal combustion engines, and that constitutes you kindling a fire. And so my brain went to, well, what about electric cars? Okay, now we have electric cars. What, can't we drive our electric cars? Well, as I was reading that article, it went on to say any use of electricity also violates the spirit of the Sabbath. So I guess driving an electric car, you can't drive an electric car either. What's interesting is you can't push the buttons on an elevator, right? You can't operate anything electrically. So people that live in high-rise buildings, they have to wait for somebody else to press the button on the elevator to get in and ride. Or they have doormen that do that, which really kind of violates the Sabbath anyway, because your servants and all aren't supposed to be working either, you know. So I don't know how they work that out. So, yeah, okay. So under the category of extinguishing, okay, this is a category, extinguishing. It forbids the putting out or lowering of a flame in any way, okay, which includes putting out a fire or turning off the lights or any other electrical appliance, because they say that the electrical current arc is kindling. So it falls under the kindling too. So you can't turn off your lights once they're on. You have to leave them on. You can't put out a fire. Now the good news is that the Sabbath may be violated to preserve human life. So if your house catches on fire on the Sabbath, make sure somebody stays in the house until you put the fire out. So it's just some of the strangest things. I like this one. Under the category of shearing, it forbids the removing of hair, wool, or feathers from any living creature. So it's forbidden to comb your hair. It's forbidden to shave or cut your fingernails or pluck your eyebrows. Okay? So my mind being what it is went to the question, well, what if, can I comb my wig or my toupee since it's not coming from a living, you know, living being? Is that okay? Is that good? Is that orthodox? Under the category of plowing, it forbids any work that improves the ground, such as digging, fertilizing, raking, mowing. In fact, as I read that, I thought, well, we are going to have some men in our congregation that are become orthodox pretty soon. No more mowing. Don't go home and mow. And then finally, under the category of finishing, it forbids the cutting or tearing of any type of paper on the Sabbath. You know what that means? You can't tear toilet paper on the Sabbath. Yikes. Right? But you can buy pre-cut toilet paper and use that. So that, you know, that they make allowances for it. You know, leave it to a bunch of religious leaders to complicate a simple command like remember the Sabbath to the uttermost extremes. That's just what we'll do when it's left up to us. The same was true during Jesus' day. The requirements and restrictions and traditions for keeping the Sabbath had multiplied and become so complex that the burden was just intolerable on the people. They felt burdened and under a yoke of trying to observe what they could and couldn't do. And I can't even begin to go into all of those rules and regulations of how far you could walk. I mean, it's mind-numbing to think about. Well, during his ministry here on earth, Jesus was constantly being harassed by the religious leaders of his day for supposedly breaking the Sabbath. Now, can you see the irony and the hypocrisy in this? Here are sinful religious leaders who are accusing the sinless, perfect Lord, the creator of the Sabbath, of breaking the Sabbath. Okay, in his epistle of Mark, in chapters 2, verses 23 through 36, Mark gives an account of two instances in which Jesus and his disciples were accused of breaking the Sabbath. So if you'd like to turn to Mark with me, that's page 838 in the Pew Bibles, Mark chapter 2, the very end of that. I just wanted to read this short passage of scripture just to give you an idea of the pressure that Jesus was always under. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. This is speaking of Jesus. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they, that's his disciples, made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing? What are they doing? Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'It is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill.' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." So, in the first instance, it has to do with his disciples picking a few heads of grain as they were walking through a grain field. In the book of Matthew, the word in this account of this same instance, the word that's used for his disciples, it says they were hungered. And that's the word that means they were famished. So they weren't just, you know, looking for a snack or just, you know, they were just wandering around. They were really hungry. And so here they are. walking through this grain field, which, by the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, it says that it's okay to do that. When you're walking through one of your neighbor's grain fields, you can pluck some heads of grain to eat. You just can't take out and harvest a bunch of it, but you can pluck a few grains if you're there to meet your need. So that happened, right? Then, in the second instance, it had to do with Jesus miraculously healing a man who had a withered, unusable hand, and all he did was ask him to stretch it out. And this was Jesus breaking the Sabbath. So it seems like to me that those two things would be legitimate things to do on a Sabbath without breaking the Sabbath. But the Pharisees didn't see it that way. They were looking for a way to accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. And so Jesus, always having an answer for them, he tells through a story about King David, he makes the point that sometimes it's better to break with tradition when there's a greater need at stake, like his hungry disciples picking a few heads of grain instead of going hungry, instead of a destitute man remaining that way, him being healed on the Sabbath. Jesus cut right through these man-made traditions and regulations of these religious leaders to emphasize the God-given purpose for the Sabbath, to be a day of spiritual and physical restoration. And I would think that healing somebody would fit into that category of restoring them and caring for them, that his disciples having a few heads of grain is wouldn't be work. It would be them just meeting their physical needs for that day. And I don't know if you noticed as I read the account of the man with the withered hand, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. On the Sabbath, what do they do? After Jesus, just by speaking a word, this man is healed, they turn around and meet with the Herodians, which were some of their enemies. They had issues with the Herodians. They meet with them to do what? To plan to destroy Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I would imagine that planning to destroy somebody would constitute breaking the Sabbath, right? And Jesus pointed that out, that there are some things that, you know, you do that need to be done that can be done on the Sabbath. Again, he says in verse 27 of chapter 2, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So, according to Jesus, the creator of the Sabbath was created to be not to be a burden upon mankind. It was a gift of God meant to be a blessing to the entire human race. Its purpose was not to put us in some kind of religious straitjacket. Rather, it was for our good and for his glory, to provide us with the rest from our labor and an opportunity for us to worship him, to set time aside. It's meant to be a blessing. Again, to remember the Sabbath is to receive it as the blessing it was intended to be. So let me end with asking the question again. Don't we all need a Sabbath day of rest? What would it be like if we were to all set aside one day a week that we could physically rest in, that we could get in tune, develop, expand that relationship with the Lord? What would it be like in your life? What would it change? What things would that change in your life? Wouldn't it be a blessing for us all to have a day? And so again, it's not about the letter of the law. It's about God's original intent. And his intent was to care for us, to meet our needs, because he knew that we wouldn't do it on our own. And so when you look at the Sabbath, when you think about remembering the Sabbath, don't think of it as a burden and a restriction that you've got to adhere to all these minutia of laws and rules and regulations, but it's a day for you to rest physically, a day for you to spend time with the Lord in a way that you don't feel rushed and hurried and disturbed. It's a day to enjoy. And God has, as being such a good God, has set that aside for us. And he's made us for that. He has wired us The way we're created, we need that day of rest and that day of restoration, both physically as well as spiritually. So I'd ask for you to join me. Would you stand? I'd like to end our time in prayer in thanking God for his provision of the Sabbath and in asking him to help us in being willing and able to remember the Sabbath. So if you would, join me in prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you. We come before you this morning, and we belong to you. We are your creation, and you made us the way you made us for a purpose. And Lord, as we've already discovered, it's not because you were tired on the seventh day that you rested after you created all that there was to be created. It was because you were setting a pattern for our lives. And so, Lord, thank you for loving us and giving us the Sabbath. Lord, help us to see it just as you intended it to be, a blessing to us, not a burden, not a restriction, Lord, but a blessing to us. Would you help us to keep that pattern that you've already modeled for us? Lord, help us to find a way to set aside time from our busy schedule. Lord, you know we have all of these things that need to be done, but you also know that there's probably things that we're doing that could take a back seat to having a day of physical rest and a day where we're focused on you. Lord, help us to set aside that day for that physical rest, Lord, that our bodies so desperately need, that we would be refreshed physically to be able to continue to do the good works that you've prepared for us to do, so that we don't burn out, so that we aren't overtired, Lord, so that we don't get sick because we've worn our bodies out. Would you help us to do that? Would you also help us to set it aside and not forget to worship you, to have that day, whatever ministers best to our soul, whether that is listening to music or reading your word or reading a book that encourages our faith, whatever it may be. All of us could probably use some more time in prayer, Lord, time just in solitude alone with you. Would you help us to do that as well, to keep the Sabbath day holy? And Lord, would you move in our hearts to give us the faith to trust you in that? Lord, if you've commanded it, then that must mean that you will provide for that. Help us to realize, Lord, what our needs are versus what our wants and desires are. Would you help us to just set aside that time for you, and that it would be set aside for you, that in our schedules that we make, Lord, that we would prioritize having that day of physical rest and spiritual restoration in your presence. And then finally, Lord, would you help us to remember that the Sabbath is meant to be a blessing to us. It's not meant to be a burden. You didn't want to bear us down with a bunch of rules and regulations, or else you would have given us all the rules and regulations for it. Lord, to help us as men and women not to add more to the remembering of the Sabbath, to keep it holy, than what you intended. Would you work in our hearts to do that work in us? And again, Lord, we're grateful to you for how you love us and how you care for us. And we just ask that you bless us and you continue to use us, Lord, as we are rested and in closer relationship with you and closer relationship with each other. Would you help us bear witness to your mercy and your grace and your love to the world around us, Lord, that we would be able to share Jesus with the folks that we come in contact with. And we give you all the glory and all the honor, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen.